Welcome, welcome, everybody. I saw your little banner thing that says the rational one on the show, so I had to add mine really quick. It says don't listen to Eric.
Yeah, fair enough.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Take It Easy Sports Show, part of the Hypermark Sports Media Network. I don't even know if that's the right word to say it, but it's part of Hypermark. Okay. I was hoping we were going to have a new logo. Adam Beadle's kind of showing us up. We'll get one. We'll get there eventually. So. Yeah. So here we are. Jacob Saliga said I would watch the show, but Zach didn't invite me on. Jacob has never told me that he wants to come on. So maybe tell me next time and I'll make time for you, but we don't have time for you tonight, Jacob. So
yeah.
Eric, it's been a week, not even a week. We're actually doing it earlier this time around. Mr. Adam Beadle, speaking of Mr. We're going to hire you, and then he's going to show us up with better graphics. I don't know what's up with that, Molly, our amazing web and graphic design person. But Adam is showing us up a little bit. So, Eric, you know what I'm really excited about right now?
What's that?
What? F-Rider. So, Ability 360, the company I work full-time for, right? I walked in this morning, and I have a brand new mouse on my desk. Look at this thing. Fancy.
Well, what's that thing on the bottom?
This thing?
Yeah, what is that?
It's like a rester grip thing. Yeah, fancy. I used to use this. It's like the Apple.
I have a regular $1 mouse.
Yeah, this is like the Apple like Magic Mouse. Honestly, I hate this thing. I hate it. It doesn't work. It won't let me right click. It doesn't do anything, so it's going over there. If anyone wants a free Magic Mouse, let me know. You can have it. Just send me a DM. I will literally ship it to you.
Always ask for your mice.
My mice. Yeah. No, but literally though, like it's still in good shape. I just don't like it. So if anyone wants it, seriously, send me a DM. You can have it. I don't care. Maybe I should probably ask my wife if she wants it first. Nah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, Mason wants the mouse. Cool, Mason. It's yours. There we go. Eric, how have you been, man? It's been a few days.
I'm good. How about you?
Hanging in there. You know, I got really sick, actually, over the weekend. Like, Friday night after the game into Saturday. And then all day Saturday, pretty much all day Sunday. And then most of the day Monday, like half the day Monday. I was, like, really sick. Like, stomach virus. Like, I could not eat. I could barely drink anything. Like, it was horrible. Adam said, dude, me too. Adam actually texted me. He had, I think, he had to go get tested for strep throat or something like that. So Adam actually probably had it worse than I did. But yeah, man, like I powered through. I did the radio show, the Saturday morning show with Jose. But I mean, we did a really good job. And I want to talk about part of that show, by the way. But man, in between breaks, I was like sitting there like trying to drink some water and just like trying to like get myself to like breathe and like get my stomach to just stop like just turning and cramping, and it was brutal. It was a brutal weekend, but you know what, good football made up for it. So
there was worked out in the end. This weekend
there's a really good football this week. It was a good week for football in Arizona, not necessarily at the pro level, but definitely at the high school and college level, which we'll get into all that stuff. But yeah, no, it was a, you know, kind of a rough weekend, but at the same time, it is what it is. I'm good now.
I mean, a good weekend to have to stay home.
True. Very good weekend to stay home. So I'm good now, though, which is obviously the most important. I can eat again, which we'll get to later on in the, what have you eaten last week? Question of the night. We've got a lot to get to. So obviously we're doing this on a Tuesday. What that means is we do not have the updated Hypermark rankings. However, what I can do is tease it, right? So we can do a little teaser. So we are going to go over the AIA rankings. I can tell you right now. Ooh. We might have a new number one in the Hypermark rankings.
Yeah.
Just a preliminary look.
And ours are going to be different by quite a bit than the Hypermark. Than the AIA ones, which they always are.
Yes, they always are. Definitely going to be much different. So I can tell you right now that it's either going to be Bash or Liberty number one. But looking at the rankings.
Yeah, I've looked at everyone. So we've got a spreadsheet as you are put together of the different, like the different people. And I wouldn't be surprised if we've got some movement.
This is public. Should I just show it?
If you want.
I don't really ever show the actual like votes, but like this is the we do have an anonymous group. So I'm not going to show them. Make sure they don't show up anywhere. No, they don't. So I'm going to just show it. Why not? Let me pull this over here so I can look at it myself. Let's see. Share screen. So an early look at what the Hypermark rankings are kind of looking like right now. I have not made my picks yet. We do have Richard Obert. He sent in his picks. I have not put them on the spreadsheet yet. Richard Smith has not done his yet. Adam Beadle has not done his yet. Adam, don't go in there right now and do it. Just wait. Just wait, Adam. I see you jumping in there. Just wait. But here's a little sneak peek. Adam is going to do it anyway. We have a tie. Oh, Adam just broke the tie. We had a tie with there you go. He deleted it. We have a tie right now. And what that means is right here, rank number one, you can see my mouse. That is worth 10 points in this poll. Now, these right here, these are last week's rankings, so don't pay attention to these. These right here where Adam is highlighted, those are worth 10 points. Getting your name in here is worth 10 points. Basha, Liberty, Liberty, Basha, Liberty, Liberty, Basha, Basha, 4-4. They both have 40 points right now. I'd be willing to bet that we're going to have a new number one in the open division rankings for the Hypermark.
Even if we don't have somebody change, the fact is it's that close.
You
know, a lot of people believe those are the two top teams, and you know one of them is going to pull ahead at the end.
Right. So this is a look at how we do the Hypermark rankings. I know I really haven't shown this spreadsheet. I really should. It's not like it's a secret. It's public. Everyone here listed is public and agreed to be a public voter. There's Adam Beadle Boom. We have BJ Media. We have Cody Cameron. We have Eric, of course. We have Chris Gridiron, Arizona. JJ Degos. We got Javier Morales from All Sports Tucson. We got Mr. Jason Skoda. Lee Patterson.
Javier, our friend in low places.
Yes. Nice. We have Logan Stanley from the Republic. Peter Clark, Pete No. Everyone knows him on Twitter. Mr. Ralph Amsden, Mr. Richard Obert from the Republic. Rixer doesn't ever actually do his. I think it's because he's kind of the CEO of Hypermark, so he kind of stays out of it a little bit. Richard Smith, West Valley Preps, and of course you have myself. So it is this group of people right here, and then we've also got five anonymous voters that I'm not going to show who they are. Yeah. So when we say that we pretty much cover the state with this, we really do. I mean, obviously you have Adam in the Valley, Brandon in the Valley, Cody. We have Eric up in Flagstaff. That's Northern Arizona. Chris, JJ, all obviously the Valley. We have Javier from Tucson. Skoda's the Valley. Lee Patterson out in Eastern Arizona. Obviously you have these guys all basically from the Valley, except you have Ralph Amsden. So we're actually going international. We actually have a North Carolina voter right now. And then you obviously have West Valley, and then you have me, who kind of covers everything, mostly East Valley because of my previous job, obviously. The anonymous voters, I can tell you there's Northern Arizona, Southern Arizona, and then East Valley, West Valley, and pretty much entire Valley. So it's diverse.
Yeah,
we try to get as many people as possible. I did reach out to someone from like the far western Arizona, like the Yumas and the or I guess Southwest, but Yuma, like Kingman area, didn't get a response. That's okay. I'm not offended, but I tried. So I really try to go for this. So there's just a look at what these look like. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to have all these people
get by with a little help from our friends.
We do. Absolutely. So these will all be tallied and released on Thursday morning. Like I said, we might have a new number one. I kind of see it going that way. So there's a look at what the Hypermark media poll looks like. Obviously, as you go across here, 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, I say if necessary, because we don't get a lot of voters for the 1A conference, because not a lot of people do vote for the 1A conference.
Not a lot of people know a lot about 1A, which is fair.
Right. It's very fair.
In the Valley, there just aren't a lot of the teams.
Exactly. So, but yeah. That's what it looks like. So pretty exciting. So there's that. Adam is putting in his rankings right now. He just broke the tie. He put Liberty number one. So we'll see what happens.
Fact is, it's that close.
It is. It's really close. It is really close. So I'll stop sharing that. So just a little look into, I'm actually glad I did that. I've never done that, and I meant to do that. The voters are obviously like on the articles that I put out or that we make for the rankings every week. The voters are there. I just never put like, it's too much work to put like who they voted for.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'd rather just come on here, and that could be the sneak peek moving forward of our show, is who people voted for. So yeah, maybe something to do. So anyway, hope that helps all of you, 129 of you watching, that kind of, at least to get an idea of what it kind of looks like for us. It is very fun. It's a lot of time to obviously compile all that stuff. So we appreciate you guys supporting us. We really do. So speaking of support, Eric, Nautical Bowls. Let's talk about Nautical Bowls a little bit, shall we?
Let's do it.
At Nautical Bowls, we blend healthy, fresh superfood bowls with an uplifting atmosphere to fuel your life full of energy. I didn't mess this one up this time. Very tasty. I've had it before. It's awesome. Please go support them because they support us and you guys support us. So naturally, you guys are like combined in supporting us. So we appreciate all of you, and you should go support each other now. So there's that. Nautical Bowls will support you in terms of good acai bowls, and you'll support Nautical Bowls because they support us, if that makes sense. Kind of. Cool. All right. I ran through that so fast. Let's get to some rankings. So we already showed you what the Hypermark rankings, how it looks like, what it's going to look like, a little preview. Obviously, we still have several people to vote, so we don't know exactly what is going to happen. But we do know what the AIA rankings look like. Now, granted, as much as it pains me to say, those are the only rankings that really matter. So here's where things stand this week. These rankings were released this morning, so Tuesday, October 15th. The Marana Tigers still on top of the open division rankings. These are open division, by the way. Desert Mountain, another 5A team, still at number two. Basha, still right there, the first 6A team on the list. If you notice something, Higley obviously drops out after losing to ALA Gilbert. That does not open the door for another 6A program, though. It instead, Horizon, another 5A team, a third 5A team, jumps into the rankings. ALA Queen Creek, Liberty, Brophy, Red Mountain. I think the biggest thing is right here at number five, Liberty. They jumped up from number eight. I think people were a little freaked out when Liberty came in at number eight last week, which I kind of, I understand, obviously, but Liberty making the move, are we really surprised?
No, I mean, I think by the end of this, unless some crazy stuff happens that we're not expecting, I think you're going to see a Basha and a Liberty near those top spots. You know, maybe the AIA decides that they do. It's not a decide. That's the wrong word. But the formula likes Marana if they end up being undefeated more than we might expect. But I think we're going to see Liberty keep moving up if they keep winning.
I think the number here to look at is the 212.58 number. And by that, I mean, it's right underneath, right above 5A number one for Marana in the blue. 212.58. Look at Basha's. 210.44. Basha's playing, who does Basha play this week? I can't remember. It's got to be a CUSD school, right? Or are they off? I don't know. Anyway, Basha's rating is going to, okay, thank you. Basha's rating is going to continue to climb because of the strength of schedule. You can't see it. I'll put, here's the 6A rankings. Obviously, I cut off the open division teams, but Basha still has to play.
They're Gary off this week. Sorry.
They are off this week. Okay.
They're so off Basha this week, still, and then they're at Chandler the week after.
Got it. So Basha still has to play Perry, who, as you see right here, if you take away the open division team, that's the number four team in the 6A conference. They still have to play Hamilton, which if you take the open division teams away, that is the seventh ranked team in the 6A conference. Same thing goes for Chandler, the number nine team in the 6A conference. Castile, who Basha still has to play, is right behind there at number 10. Now, granted, I know 15, 14, 12, 9, those numbers don't really jump out at you as much. But when you look at the strength of schedule for all these other teams and just the fact that the Premier Region literally just beats up on each other all the time, Basha's rating is going to continue to climb. This is why Morana, I do not believe will be number one, no matter what. Morana could run the table. They could score 50 every game. They will not be the number one team in the open division when it's all said and done. Could they be like number four? Absolutely. Absolutely, they could be number four. The same goes for Desert Mountain. Right now, Desert Mountain is up here because if you look at the 6-0 record, for some reason that holds more weight than ALA Queen Creek's. I don't know how. I don't know why. Because ALA Queen Creek has a higher rating, but the other number that matters obviously is the 21.25 versus 20.03. Now, we'll get to ALA Queen Creek in a little bit when we get to our looking ahead segment. But Miranda's going to drop no matter what. Miranda's probably going to go undefeated. Miranda's probably going to make the open division, but they are going to drop. They're not going to be the number one team. Will they be number four? Potentially. Whoever's that number five seed, probably coming out of the 6A conference, is going to have to go down to Miranda and play. Miranda's a good enough team. I think they can get a win. It just depends on who they play.
Yeah.
I can tell you right
and
now,
it,
though.
I don't think it would be – I don't think they would think they're the number one seed in the open if it were to happen like that. Like, if you were to ask those guys right now, I think they would be hard-pressed to say that, you know, to, even if they do walk the line and go all the way to undefeated, they're – I just don't think they are the top team in that way.
I don't know what just happened. I somehow removed myself from the entire thing.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were. My face got really big in the thing.
Yeah, I this new mouse, man, I clicked one button on accident. It just took me out of the entire thing. That was really strange. Let me put these back up. Sorry about that. My bad. I should probably just take my hand off the mouse. I think you brought up a good point. Now, granted, well, Miranda openly admit they're not number one, maybe not, but deep down they probably know. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say because Miranda's such a good football team that it's like, I mean, do they deserve number one? Maybe, but like, is it really gonna happen? No, it's not. So
no, and I think like you never know what the kids think. Maybe they want to be that, but I think it's a different level of football and 5A and everything like that. And you know, when you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place of like, you want to do as well as possible, but you don't, you know, you want to be toward your level too.
Exactly. Let's move on to the 6A rankings again, just really quick here. As we mentioned, taking away the open division teams, that's why it starts at number six here. You have Highland at number one. Where have we seen the Hawks there before? Queen Creek at number two, Mountain View at number eight. I'm sorry, three. Of course, I just messed that up. Perry at number four, and then you go down the line. Rounding out the top 16, if playoffs were to start today, would be Chaparral. So you have right there, and you can see Chaparral will be the 16 seed. Centennial will be the 15 seed. Westwood, O'Connor, Mesa, Cesar Chavez. How about this, Eric? I'm going to throw this one back on here. Mountain View, Red Mountain in the open division. You have... bringing this one back up, Mesa and Westwood. When was the last time we saw four Mesa teams in the playoffs?
Yeah, no kidding. It's got to have been a while.
I want to say it's been a while, unless I just didn't pay attention enough. Like, I mean, I know Mesa's been like there. Westwood hasn't made the playoffs in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking back to like maybe 2018-ish. We had, you know, Skyline was decent. Mesa was okay. Mountain View, Red Mountain.
Sorry, I mean 6A. 6A specifically.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, because 5A, I'll bring up the 5A rankings while we're at it. I thought I saw, maybe I didn't. Let me see. No, never mind. There's no teams there. But since we're on the 5A conference, obviously you take out Miranda, you take out Desert Mountain, you take out Horizon, who's currently the 8th seed in the open division. And you have Higley at number one. Obviously, the Knights are there after dropping to ALA Gilbert. Ironwood Ridge, McClintock, ALA Gilbert, obviously, we just mentioned. My biggest thing is Cactus Shadows is way down here. Number 14 right now in the conference. That would make them number, I think, what, 11 in the playoffs?
And that's solid.
That's a really good football team for a number 11 seed. It's a really good football team. Rounding out the playoffs for 5A, if they started tomorrow, you do have Desert Edge right there. You have Mountain View, Marana, Casa Grande, Campo, Canyon View. So that would be the 16, 15, 14, 13, 12. So Desert Edge would be number 12 in the 5A playoffs, which is equally as crazy as Cactus Shadows being the 11th seed if playoffs started. Obviously, they're not. So, you know, we're just hypothetically speaking here, of course.
Yeah.
So craziness. Craziness. We'll go over the 4A rankings really quick. Bring these up right here. Snowflake, Arizona College Prep, UMass Catholic. Obviously, 4A no longer part of the open division. So that's why we're going over these separate in this way. These three teams, though, I'm telling you right now, these three teams, after that, it's really kind of a toss-up between Arcadia, Thunderbird, Micah Mountain. I think Micah Mountain's actually further up. I believe I have them as my number one team right now. But I mean, this is a loaded, loaded conference.
Is it the most loaded fun 5A we've had in a while?
I think so.
4A. I mean, last year was 4A. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I think last year we thought it was pretty open too, but
yeah. But I mean, but here's what makes it so fun. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's it. Ready? But this is the most insane part. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 5-1 teams in the top 16.
Yeah.
Everyone else is a 2-loss team. And you have 4 undefeated teams right now. Obviously, Deer Valley, strength of schedule is not helping them. But what conference are you going to see that happen in?
No, I don't think it's possible. And part of it is because there are so many teams in the conference.
Right. And you could even make an argument that if Arizona College Prep doesn't go and play that team from Indiana, they might be undefeated too.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at Snowflake's schedule. Who do you see out of these teams? Maybe Eastmark beating the Lobos moving forward? None.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So that's one. Arcadia. Maybe Combs. Maybe Vista Grande. AZ College Prep. This is probably one of the toughest back stretches of games right here for Arcadia. But if they go through unscathed, they're undefeated. Micah Mountain, no one's beaten the Thunderbolts. I guess I shouldn't say that. Maybe Walden Grove. Sorry, I didn't mean to click on that. Maybe Walden Grove. Maybe Cannon Del Oro if they, you know, come to play. But Micah Mountain's been on a tear lately. So, I mean, we're talking about 4 undefeated potentially teams. Maybe more realistic, like 3. Deer Valley is definitely, I think, going to be undefeated just based on the schedule here. Estrella Foothills probably has the best chance to take them down. This is loaded, man. It's fun. It's going to be so much fun to watch this conference tournament play out. And the only downside of it all is the fact that they play on the same night as 6A and 5A. And the Open,
yeah,
for that matter. That's the
it's
only
gonna
downside.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. And I think it's wide open. We could see some upsets that wouldn't, you know, would be upsets on paper, but I don't know that they would be that crazy because a lot of these teams have, you know, strength of schedule and stuff like that. You know, a 12 could be just as solid as a 5 in this.
Exactly. Especially if you're looking at a 12 team being Vista Grande. The Spartans have had a really good season.
Yeah.
So that's a dangerous 12 seed. Bradshaw Mountain at number 13. Cannon Del Oro, last year's champion, at number 14. Combs, a team that's 5-1 right now at number 15. That's crazy. That's a... Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking at 3A really quick, top heavy. These 4 teams, maybe 5 teams, just so good. River Valley you can throw in there. I mean, the same thing. 3A is going to be loaded too. Mojave, after the you know, the sickness and the injuries and everything and an uncharacteristic loss. I mean, they've rattled off 6 wins in a row now. That's a team that's very, very dangerous. Oh, they didn't even count the forfeit.
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird. Why is that not counted? Interesting.
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know how it works. I really don't. Don't look at me to explain it. 2A rankings, Santan Charter. I think the clear-cut number one right now. Tonopah Valley may be making an argument, but Santan Charter just beat Santa Cruz. So there's that. Hayden, the number one team in the 1A conference. I don't think it's close. I think Hayden's going to win that championship. So there you go. That's a look at the AIA rankings. Of course, the Hypermark rankings come out on Thursday. Those are the human element rankings, I should say. The human rankings. the ones that people actually really enjoy. At least I think. At least I hope.
So, I think people enjoy them.
I would hope so. I really would. Eric, I think it's time to get to what did we learn? Our what did we learn segment. Every single week we go over a few games handpicked mostly by me. I don't think Eric really cares. Handpicked by me. We talk about it for a little bit. It's better than us just running through the scores and kind of just, you know, blabbering on and on and on, even though we do that anyway. So, Eric, first one. What did we learn? Ayla Gilbert's upset win over Higley.
I think we learned something that we knew. There are a lot of good 5A teams. And we learned Higley isn't infallible. They had a bunch of guys out for this game, but Ayla Gilbert rocked like a wagon wheel at the big moment and figured it out.
I like that analogy. That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
I was impressed by that. That was impressive. Somebody clipped that. We'll use it. I'm right there with you. I think we learned that if Higley can't stay healthy, they are very much, I guess at risk isn't the right term to use, but they're very much beatable.
Yeah.
As has been obviously very much shown. Cactus Shadows almost did it. Miranda did do it. Ayla Gilbert did it. I think the 5A conference is a lot more wide open than we think. Maybe we're realizing that now, obviously. So, yeah. What did we learn, Eric? Basha's 35-20 win over Hamilton.
That's a big one. I think we learned, we've talked about Basha obviously on this show several times, but I think they showed against an undefeated team how good they are. Winning by 15 points against another undefeated squad is a big deal. Yeah. I guess Basha isn't undefeated, but they're undefeated in state competition.
In the state. I think we learned that Basha deserves to be the number one team in the state. Granted, depending on who you talk to, myself included, until Liberty is dethroned, they're my number one team. However, I think it's very much, I've been saying this probably for about 2 weeks now, and I said it on the Saturday morning show with Jose Garcia. 1A, 1B, Liberty, Basha. There is no 1-2. It is 1A, 1B right now.
Yeah.
You could even say 1A and 1AA. Like, that's how close these two teams are, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This Basha team is really good. And honestly, the 35-20 score, not to take anything away from Hamilton putting up 20, but like, some of those points came when the game was like very much over.
Right.
Like, Basha was up like 35 to like 6 or 7 or something like that at one point. Something like that. 35 to like a lower score than 20 for sure. Basha brought it to him. Basha brought it to him very easily, it looked like. They made it look kind of easy, especially in the second half. First half, a little more shaky. Second half, though, that Basha team, man, they just turned the corner. They did the same thing against Millard South when I saw them. Close first half. Second half, they just took off. It's like they're bears, right? They play with their food, and then all of a sudden, they just devour it, right?
Yep.
I don't know if bears actually do that or not, but these bears do.
Those do.
These bears do. This Basha team is very good. Let's move down to 2A. What did we learn? I think we already said it. Santan Charter 24-14 win over Santa Cruz Valley.
You know, Santan Charter had to go eastbound and down in the state and figure it out. They beat a really good Santa Cruz team, and I think Santan Charter's, you know, proving to be one of the top teams in the 2A conference.
I might get in trouble for this. Which Santan Charter team is better? This one or the one that we were told was going to be the best one ever?
Probably this one.
Cool. Sounds good to me. We'll leave it at that. I might get in trouble for that. We'll see. I don't know. What do we learn? Castile's 40-37 win over Perry in four overtimes. I know what I learned.
Four overtimes is crazy.
I know what I learned.
You tell me. I want to hear what you said.
I have to choose my games more wisely.
Yeah. It's a long game to be at.
So this one went four overtimes. Well over 3 hours long. I shouldn't say well over. It was just over 3 hours long. Honorable. Corona Centennial Liberty. 3 hours long. The night before that, Red Mountain and who they play? Downey. 3 hours long. Highland and Chandler, nearly 3 hours long. I need to stop going to 3 hour long football games.
Yeah, that's tough. At the high school level, that long is pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, even me, like, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, man. I'm 30. I can't be doing these 3 hour football games and then, you know, talk to Cody for 15 minutes and then still wake up and go to the radio show in the morning.
Yeah, that's tough.
Then I got to come home and I still got to, like, be a husband and all that stuff. Like, I'm tired, man. Listen to me complaining. I get to cover sports for a living and I'm complaining. I should really.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I really need to make better decisions. Luckily for me, I'm filling in for Mr. Cody Cameron this week on the Friday night wrap-up show. Two out of 3 weeks. Yes. Two times in 3 weeks. Spring chicken, Mason says. Yes, Mason. You got something to say? Yeah, no, I'm filling in for Mr. Cody Cameron again. Apparently, he's just a world traveler. Him and Brett Quintine, yeah, man. I don't know. They just don't like to work, I guess. Sorry, Brett. So, yeah, I'll be filling in for Cody, so I will not be at a game. Well, I'll be at a game like the first half. I think I'm going to drop into the Desert Mountain and Horizon game, which we'll talk about. I'm getting too ahead of myself. We'll talk about that one. But I'm not going to be like at a game for the entire 3 hours. Instead, I'm going to go to a game and I'm going to go to a 2 hour radio show. So there's that. And I'll probably go to bed later than I do covering a game. So love it. Last one. What did we learn? Probably the biggest one, the most surprising one. Liberty 32, Pinnacle 29.
We both talked about it. We thought that Pinnacle, we didn't think that Pinnacle was going to win. I think, but we thought that they were going to keep it close. Yes. And we thought that there would be, if anybody had a chance to make it close in this season and, you know, potentially pull off the upset, we both thought Pinnacle might be it. And that Liberty's not infallible.
Right.
I mean, Pinnacle has a great quarterback. You know, you take a fast car and you go. They're not that far from each other because Liberty is, you know, pretty northwest.
Far north, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there are teams that I'm betting some of the kids know each other, stuff like that. They've both been successful programs over the years. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I just have something to say. I have seen stuff about refs in that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you are an adult and you are complaining about the refs of a high school game blowing it or whatever, you are a loser. A loser. You can be mad and think that they missed some calls, but if you think that the refs care to give some team the game, you're a loser. They don't care who wins and loses.
Here's my loser. Thing with that. Here's my thing with that. You can argue calls. You can say that, you know, games were officiated poorly. It happens. I've been the first to admit that. I've been very
critical. And they absolutely are sometimes.
Right. I've been very critical about the officiating at the AIA level several times, whether it be on this podcast, on the Saturday morning show, on X or Twitter, through posts. I've been very critical. There have been times where I've actually texted Brian Gessner, the commissioner of the officials for the AIA, and I said, this is terrible. There have been times where I've been standing next to athletic directors who were actively reporting officials for just being horrible. It happens. Yeah. But if you are on a broadcast and you're an adult, and you open, like, you can even say there, like, this was a poorly officiated game. But to go as far as make that claim while you're on a broadcast, when you have a lot of people watching you, and you do a great job. You did a great job. You called the game very well. You're a professional. You do it really well. But you got to remember that you are a professional. You can be critical of calls, but openly saying on the airwaves exactly what you just said, Eric, you got to know when to draw the line. Like, I
get said it much nicer than I did.
Yes.
Loser.
At the end of the day, you can be the broadcaster for a specific team, but it goes back to the famous Eric Sorensen tweet from the Clemson-Ohio State Fiesta Bowl, when you are working media, you do not cheer in the press box.
Well, and the thing is that you can be mad at a call. You can be mad at a lot of things. But I have never seen a coach say that, you know, some have been mad at specific calls. Some have been mad at officiating right. in general. But you can't say that you lost the game just because of refs.
Was it an announcer or a coach? I thought we were talking about announcers.
No, I'm just saying that coaches.
Yes. You're right. Yeah, coaches
would. They wouldn't.
Because you want to know why? Because coaches would tell their kids, "You should have never put the game in the hands of the refs anyway."
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, we don't need to spend too much more time on this, but I just think it's important to note that if you win by 70, it doesn't matter what the officials call anyway.
Right.
So. Be better.
Yeah. I do want to say, kind of going on, like pivoting away from that topic.
Yes.
We for sure, and you mentioned it already, we did say last Thursday on this podcast, if there is any team that was going to beat Liberty the rest of the regular season, it would be a Wyatt Horton-led Pinnacle team. Granted, full transparency, we said this, there was a slim chance. But a slim chance is still a chance. And Wyatt Horton, I don't care if you lost. You cemented your legacy as one of the top quarterbacks in this state to ever come out of it when you do.
He's really, really good.
You cemented your place in the Pinnacle quarterback legends because you have been a three-year starter. And even though you almost beat the number one team in the state, you are still a legend, my friend. You are very good. You should be very proud of yourself. That entire Pinnacle team should be proud of yourself. You guys went toe-to-toe with the open division state champs who have been dominating every single Arizona team that they have played in the last 2.5, 3 years.
They didn't have any close games against Arizona teams last year.
That was the closest margin of victory for a Liberty team since 2019, Eric. Or no, 2021. I'm sorry, 2021.
That's crazy.
In 3 years, and I know 3 years doesn't sound like a lot, but 3 years playing basically 13, 14 games a year, that's a lot of games.
That
was the closest margin of victory.
Don't get that.
That was the closest margin of victory in 3 years for that Liberty team. Pinnacle, you should be very proud of yourselves.
No doubt.
I know that obviously you were in a tough situation from the 25 and, you know, maybe you try the field goal, blah, 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 whatever. You put the ball in the hands of your best player and it didn't work out. But guess what? Maybe 5 times out of 10, it would work out because you guys are that
good. You were right there.
Literally right there. So Pinnacle should be proud of themselves. Now, if you're Liberty, this opened your eyes. This opened your eyes to say, okay. And maybe they knew this already, but we're going to get everyone's best week in and week out.
Yeah.
And I know we said that Pinnacle was probably going to be the best team that had, or the team that had the best chances. But there's still a team that's just a little south of them in Peoria in week 11 that really wants a shot at this Liberty team.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to see a Centennial team play probably the best game of the season in that week 11 matchup.
Yeah.
But I still think Pinnacle was the best team with the best shot to take them down regular season. And Wyatt Horton almost made me look like a genius.
Yep.
Almost. I would have... If Pinnacle pulled that off, I was going to clip that, you know, that clip of us. I was going to post it on Twitter. I was going to, you know, pin it to my profile. I was going to have the Hypermark social media team just blast it everywhere. I was going to look like a freaking genius.
Yep.
Almost. I'm not a genius. Almost. I almost look like a genius. Wyatt Horton, you should be very proud of yourself, man. And that whole Pinnacle team, like I mentioned,
the whole Pinnacle team
should be very proud of themselves. Dana Zupke, hell of a job coaching in that game. You're a great coach as it is, but that was a hell of a job coaching. And we're giving Pinnacle so much flowers because Liberty is that team.
Yeah.
Liberty is the number one team in the state. They are the open division champions. They are arguably a team that has the best coaching staff. Colin Thomas is arguably the best coach in the state right now and has been for the past few years.
Yeah.
Great job, Pinnacle. Because you just showed Liberty, we're going to get everyone's best. You probably, honestly, and I hate to say this, you probably just made Liberty turn it up a notch, which might not be good.
That's the thing is they're going to use this and
Yeah.
They're going to
may not be good for other teams
for themselves.
Exactly. But yeah, no, that Wyatt Horton, man, you are in the conversation with the Spencer Rattlers, the Brian Lewerke's, the JD Johnson's. I know he left, but you were in the conversation with the Devin Dampiers. You are that good, my friend. You are in that conversation. And if you go win a championship with Pinnacle this year at the 6A level or the 6A conference tournament, guess what? You just did something that none of them could do.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think why he is the only quarterback to take them to a state championship. And yeah. He did it as a sophomore. Pinnacle should take what they did last Friday and use that as motivation for the rest of the season. Because that's a good football team. That's a really good football team. So, yeah. Hats off. That was just a great game. A great game played by two phenomenal teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said last Friday was a very good night of football in the state at the high school and the college level. It was just a really, really good night of football. So we're spoiled. We really are. Speaking of spoiled, Next Level Mobile IV. We're spoiled because Next Level Mobile IV sponsors us. For good athletes striving. Was that good? I thought it was pretty good. Oh. For athletes striving to maximize their performance, Next Level Mobile IV therapy offers the most effective method to deliver essential vitamins, minerals, and select medications directly into the bloodstream. This approach obviously ensures optimal absorption, aligned for rapid replenishment, and enhancing key nutrients crucial for peak athletic performance. Next Level Mobile IV, go to the Tucson-specific location to tell Kyle Morgan that we said hi. But they have locations all over. Make sure to check out Next Level Mobile IV for any of your mobile IV needs. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was not bad. That wasn't bad. I like that. I like how I handled that one. Our own Mason Byers, I hope he's still tuning in because he dropped his – I should probably – hang on one second. Let me go ahead and remove that. There we go. Mason Byers dropped his flag football rankings. He got them to me right before the show, so I've not actually posted these yet. So the 297 people watching this right now are getting your first look at the Hypermark rankings for flag football. Hamilton, the new number one team. Mountain View did fall. The Hamilton Huskies, 7-0. They are the number one team now, according to our Mason Byers. And honestly, I don't blame him. Hamilton's been very good all season long. You still have Mountain View at number two. Millennium. This is a team that's actually... I have a little personal relationship with the Millennium football team, specifically the head coach, Mr. James Fisher. He coached me the last few years playing adult Pop Warner football. I won a championship with him in my first year under him as a player. Tremendous love for that man. Love James Fisher. He coached at Chavez. He coached at Dysart, tackle football. He comes from the J.R. Alcantar coaching tree. He's doing a great job with those Millennium girls. So hats off to you, Coach Fish. Marana, number four, Highland 5, Castile, Basha, Mountain Ridge, Sunnyside, and Red Mountain rounds out your top 10 for the 6A conference. Millennium might finish 2 by the end of the year. They are very, very good. Yes, Mason, they are indeed. Moving on. 5A, no change at the top. Canyon View, 6-1. Mountain Point, Campo, Casa Grande, Verado, North Arizona College Prep, Buena, Mountain View, Marina, and Nogales. Your 5A conference rankings for girls flag football. Eric, do me a favor. While I'm getting to the 4A rankings, will you see when the championships for flag football are?
Yeah.
I think they're coming up pretty soon, aren't they?
I mean, not too far away. I'm looking it up. Right. You want 6A?
Any of them. All of them.
November 23rd is the 6A.
Oh, okay. So we're still a month out.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as close as I thought it was.
Yeah. November 23rd is all three.
Okay. So we're still about a month and a week or so out. Okay. Sounds good. 4A. I didn't have enough time to find a picture of Mesquite. I saw these rankings change from Eastmark to Mesquite at number one. And I was like, oh, crap. And I tried to find a picture. I just could not find one. And we had to jump on. So that's why there's no picture for Mesquite. So Mesquite, I apologize. But Mesquite is the number one team in the 4A conference right now for flag football. Prescott, Crisman, Eastmark, Scottsdale Christian, Heritage Levine, St. Mary's, Monument Valley, Page, and Coconino. Your Coconino Panthers, Eric.
Number 10. They've been fun to watch. They have a quarterback, Blanca Ventura Gomez, who is, she played on the boys football team her freshman year, and is now the quarterback for the girls team as a sophomore, and is super fun to watch. And they're cool. I mean, none of the girls on that team besides her have ever played real football before, but they're just athletic. A lot of soccer girls, track and field, stuff like that. And they're playing really well right now.
Right on. I love to hear it. Again, Hype and Mark, Flag Football Rankings, are on Mason Byers. He's the one who kind of puts these all together. I want to say that next year I'm going to let him lead the charge in a statewide media flag football rankings. Still too new of a sport for us to kind of do that this year. I think it would have been pretty hard, but yeah, so we'll try that out next year. But for now, give him a follow on X. He does a great job for us. And he just said that he's going to be at the Castile versus Higley game on Thursday for the 6A conference. Ray Black actually was just named the Cardinals flag football coach of the week. So very cool. And the running back over there, player of the week. So pretty cool. So yeah, Mason, good job. Appreciate you. All right, Eric, transition time. Is it time to look ahead?
Yeah, let's do it.
That was a really delayed response from you.
Yeah, it lagged for a sec.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll run through this because we do have more looking ahead than normal because we don't have the Hype Mark rankings to go over, even though we kind of did. Thursday game, Cactus at Verado. Eric, I did some research. It's only been two meetings, but Verado's never beaten Cactus. What Jeremy Hathcock is doing over there in the far West Valley has been phenomenal this year. I think Verado ends that two-game losing streak and they beat Cactus on Thursday.
I could see it. It's crazy that they're both West Valley teams. I guess Cactus has been 4A mostly until the last few years. But yeah, I mean, if there's any time for Cactus to, you know, have a challenge against this Verado team, it's this year.
Exactly. Looking ahead, Chandler at Castile. This is a Castile team that has a lot of momentum coming off that 4 overtime win. Chandler coming off, I believe, a bye week. Before the bye week, this Chandler team had 2 losses. The last time Chandler had 2 straight losses, I couldn't even tell you.
It's been a while.
This Chandler team is going to be hungry for a win. Castile is going to be obviously hungry for a win. They're going to come in here feeling very confident. I honestly don't know who wins this game.
I don't either.
Coin flip.
I think Chandler has to be the favorite, but Castile has been on a run recently.
Yeah. It just kind of depends on which Chandler team we're going to get. Are we going to get the Highland Chandler team or the Chandler team before Highland? Or are we going to get the Chandler team against Liberty?
Right.
That just got boat raced. So, I mean, obviously you have a week to prepare. We'll see. You know, I believe in Coach Gerritsen. I believe in that staff. Colin Bottrell does a great job. Coach Underwood does a great job. We'll see what happens with Chandler. Looking ahead, the rivalry. Saguaro at Chaparral. Eric, the main reason I brought this game up, does Saguaro get a win?
I don't know. In the past, this has been Saguaro pretty easily in, you know, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Chaparral might be the favorite in this one.
I would say they're the favorite, but I'm going to give the nod to Saguaro. They've been playing better football. And here's the thing. It's a pretty big thing if you really look at it. Saguaro's schedule after this game: Liberty, South Point, Pinnacle.
This might be the one chance.
You need to win this game, or I'm sorry, you're going 0-10.
Yeah.
And I love Darius Kelly. I love him to death. I love Darryl Dobbins, one of my best friends in the world. He's an offensive line coach over there. I love Derek McClure, another one of my best friends in the world. He helped make me a better offensive lineman when I was playing Dull Pop Warner. So it really didn't matter, but he still, you know, helped me out. Sure. Offensive line coach at Saguaro. This team has been
playing. Was that Darryl Dobbins? Is that Darryl from the Twitter video? Yeah.
It is indeed. They've been playing a better brand of football. They really have. 35-38 to Corona, 30-20 against a Centennial team that was near fully healthy, fully loaded. If you're going to win a game, it has to be this week, Saguaro.
Agreed.
I'm not rooting for like teams to beat other teams, things like that.
No.
I am rooting for my friends to have success. So take that for what it is. If Saguaro loses, am I going to cry and be upset? No. It's whatever. But I think this is the best chance for Saguaro to get a win. And I think if they just get one, it'll help out, especially knowing that you have, you're facing some of the best teams in the state to finish your season. So, and their schedule has been really hard too. I mean, LA Queen Creek, a Mountain View team that's been very good. Basha, Chaminade, a very good team out of California. I mean, Centennial, this is a hard schedule. It's a really hard schedule. And they have like 5 seniors total. So like,
it's pretty crazy. They're rebuilding and they know they're rebuilding.
Right. And Garrett Martin's been hurt again. So like, they don't even have their best player.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Looking ahead, 3A level, Benjamin Franklin at Florence. 2 powerhouses going at it, Eric.
This is a fun one. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the 3A conference earlier, and this is, right up there with some of the better teams.
Number 3 versus number 4?
Yeah.
Florence has been very good this year. Ben Franklin, however, I think has been tested more with tougher teams, including Arcadia, for a team that Ben Franklin almost beat. I do see Ben Franklin going down to Florence and taking this one in a close game.
I think so, too.
A very close game. Florence
plays well at home, but I think Ben Franklin's the better team at the moment.
Yeah. Florence plays really, really well at home. So, yeah. Looking ahead, 2 teams coming off of losses. Who bounces back?
I have to give the nod to Hamilton here. Being the home team, I think that this is a mental one where I don't think it's...
Yep.
When's the last time Perry beat Hamilton? It's been a while.
Chubba Purdy?
Yeah.
Maybe, right? That has to be it, right?
Yeah, probably.
I can look really quick while you're talking.
So 4 or 5 years ago, something like that?
Perry W. 2018.
Yeah. So Chubba Purdy. Yep. Yeah. I think that there's a mental edge for Hamilton in this one.
Yep.
It's going to be closer than it has been, but that's who I'd have to go with.
I'm going to switch it up. I think Perry wins.
Cool.
However, I think Perry needs to play much better than they did last week. Perry was sloppy. They had miscues. They had turnovers. They couldn't get their passing game going to save their lives. If Perry does all that, I think they beat Hamilton. Because I have a feeling that while Hamilton might be motivated, I think they were shell-shocked by what Basha did to them a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this could, everything I say could just be like BS at the end of the day, right? Hamilton could go in there and win by 50, and I would just look stupid. I'm not going to get every prediction.
I think it's going to be a close game.
I think it's going to be really close. For some reason, I think this Perry team is just going to come out and start fast and not look back.
I could see it.
In my opinion. I could be totally wrong. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Looking ahead, Centennial at Queen Creek. Is this a must win for the Coyotes?
I think it is. If you had said this at the beginning of the season, I think you would have said that Centennial is the easy favorite, but it's not like that right now.
Tate Reynolds Queen Creek's
a solid team, and Centennial hasn't been as good as we expected.
Tate Reynolds has been outstanding.
Yes.
I really think this is must win for the Coyotes.
I think so too.
I think you're sitting at number 15 right now in the 6A rankings. If you take away, that's taking away all of the open division teams. That's taking them away near number 15. You're 2-4. You drop to 2-5, and you still have Pinnacle and Liberty to go. You might be a 3-7 football team.
Yeah.
I don't know if that
might be enough for the playoffs, but 3-7 is not where you want to be.
Enough for the playoffs, and you're gonna go face the number one team in the 6A conference, which honestly might be the loser of the game we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, AOA Queen Creek at Red Mountain.
I think Red Mountain, regardless of the score here, is going to be an open team, whether they win or lose. Mm-hmm. I think both might be, but it might be that last spot for open versus a 6A playoff team.
Here's the thing, though. Red Mountain still has ALA Queen Creek, obviously. They have Queen Creek, they have Hamilton, they have Mountain View. That's a tough stretch.
None of those are easy.
Mm-mm.
But Red Mountain has been awesome so far.
Oh, Red Mountain's been fantastic. Red Mountain is the number three team in my rankings. They've been outstanding.
As they should be.
Yeah, they've been outstanding. ALA Queen Creek, though, I've had Sharpied in the open division. Now it's like, okay, wait a minute. Because if the formula is valuing 5A teams at that much, I don't know.
Yeah.
A one-loss 6A team might get bumped out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, things are going to work out probably the way that we expect them to, with like only Miranda getting in. It's still
so early for the rankings. A lot of teams have four games left, three games left.
It is. Absolutely. Last one, looking ahead, the game that I will be at for at least a half, maybe. Desert Mountain at Horizon, a battle of open division teams. As of right
now, this is probably more likely a loser out, winner in terms of open.
See, I mentioned that in our group chat, and Chris Heaton brought up a good point that if Horizon wins this game, it may not be enough to drop Desert Mountain out.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I guess it depends.
It might not be. We're not sure about the schedule and the formula right now. But yeah, I mean, I could see that.
I don't know, because I mean, you're a one loss Desert Mountain team, and you're undefeated right now, and you're the number two team in the state according to the formula. You lose one game, but it's to the number eight team in the state. How much is that really going to drop you?
Yeah, true.
So I don't know. I'm excited though. I think this is the game of the week. This probably and ALA Queen Creek Red Mountain is the game of the week. Games of the week.
This is definitely the 5A game of the week.
100%. Best game in 5A, hands down by far. So, all right. It's time to get to our favorite segment of the night, where I come up with random questions to ask Eric. And Eric, we do have a few, so we're going to try to run through these pretty quick because we're almost pushing an hour already. So, my first question, favorite sports personality right now?
So,
player, media, okay, anything. Yeah.
That's a good question. When you're thinking about yours, are you going with an athlete or with a media person?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Because I'm trying to think who my favorite is. This is tough.
Mason said Kenny Dillingham.
That's fun. Good for him. It's
fun one. Yep.
I mean, Kenny Dillingham is pretty fun right now.
He is
that
fun.
Team's playing pretty well, and he's been exciting and everything like that. It's hard to blame that as an answer. You know who I've honestly really liked? I never was a big fan of Alabama.
Nick Saban. But
Nick Saban on College Game Day has been awesome.
Yep. So I'm gonna go right to Nick Saban's right. If you're Nick Saban, or his left, if you're watching the show. Pat McAfee is single-handedly carrying ESPN right now.
Yeah, he is. It's him and Stephen A. are that network.
I don't like Stephen A., but Pat
McAfee.
I don't
like him that much either, but yeah. I'm just saying in terms of who is, you know, doing great stuff.
Pat McAfee, between his podcast to College Game Day to, I mean, just, I guess that's really the only two things that he's doing right now. He was awesome on WWE. Like, he was like, he just, everything he does,
he can do everything.
He makes amazing.
He's just such an entertainer.
He is the new Lee Corso on College Game Day, but like to a whole nother level.
Lee Corso, who has a different type of personality.
Yes, absolutely. The kicking challenge that Pat McAfee does on College Game Day. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
The way that he can just animate a crowd and get them going, phenomenal. His podcast, again, phenomenal. I always go back to last year, the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. Pat McAfee is there with College Game Day. Georgia, Alabama. They're going through the picks. They get to Pat McAfee, and he starts singing this Georgia theme song kind of deal. Goes through the entire thing. Makes everybody think he's going to pick Georgia to win the game. And he sits there with a sly little smile on his face and then goes, give me Alabama. And it was just the most electric and funny and amazing and just unexpected
moment.
He's funny, man. He's outstanding. And Jose Garcia does not like him. I don't know why.
That's okay. Not everyone has to like everyone.
Pat McAfee is
carrying ESPN. That's my favorite personality right now is Jose Garcia.
Jose Garcia. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Pat McAfee is by far just my favorite right now. He is just outstanding. He's so much in it. He's so entertaining.
You know, Jose seems like a genuinely good guy. On the radio show on Friday challenged me to a tennis match. I don't know if we'll ever play, but
really?
He told me I couldn't beat him.
Hmm.
Which might be true. I haven't played tennis in several years, but
I think we need to take the Saturday morning show on the road.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Would you beat him in pickleball though?
I don't have a doubt in my mind I would.
Yeah.
But tennis, maybe not. I haven't played in so long.
You'd be fine. I think you'd be all right. Yeah, you'd be fine. Speaking of Kenny Dillingham, is Arizona State a college football playoff team?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because they're not that good. They're good, but they're not that good.
Okay. Are they a bowl game team?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, they only have to win one more game, so I guess that's pretty, you know.
Yeah, I think that... I mean, the thing is that the Big 12 isn't that stacked of a conference right now. They've probably They've beaten some of the better teams in the conference. I don't even know that the conference champion is going to be one of the top ranked champions that is needed to be in the playoff.
This might get Mason fired right here.
Beating Vandy in the Natty, huh?
Yeah, that might get him fired. I agree with you. I don't think they're a college football playoff team. I just put that in there because, like, if they continue on this path, they will be. Just because
they need to get ranked first.
That's a good point. I don't think they beat BYU though. BYU is very good.
No, and
Mason even said College Game Day should come, which I agree. But
that would be fun. They are exciting and they're better than they have been in a long time. But I don't think they're one of the top 12 teams in the country.
No, I agree with you. So I'll. You and I are on the same page. They are very good. They're very fun. Kenny Dillingham is the answer, just not this year. I don't think. What is your ideal fall Sunday, Eric? It's Sunday morning. You wake up. It's fall. For you, it's actually cool. Actually, it's been nice here. But for you, it's actually cool because you're in Flagstaff. Maybe the leaves are changing colors, nice oranges and reds and all that stuff, things we never see down here in the valley. And you get to do whatever you want on a Sunday in the fall. What is it that you do?
Describe. I tell you, my Sundays during football season are almost always the same.
Okay.
I wake up at about 9:45.
Okay.
Because I usually, on Saturday, I've had college game the day before. Wake up at about 9:45, pour myself a cup of coffee, sit down, turn on the Red Zone or whatever game is on for the NFL. Yep. And watch for a long time. And then I watch some more.
Describe the football setting for me. Describe the setting.
I am in my I'm at home.
Okay.
I'm sitting in the living room on our couch. The dog's hanging out next to me, usually the cat too. Yep. I've got some sort of leftovers or something good to eat with lunch. And, you know, I'm watching the 1 o'clock slate of games, which I guess they call them the 1 o'clock because it's on the East Coast, but the 10 o'clock slate of games for us is on. I love the Red Zone. I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
I watched the second half of Red Zone and enjoy it, but that's kind of a come down time for me.
Take a nap.
Sometimes a nap. Sometimes I'm just kind of like half paying attention, you know. For me now, I'm on the Ed Doherty committee, so I'm looking at you know, some scores, stuff like that. And then I try to get a workout in at some point. And then Sunday night football.
I like it. So, well, first of all, I'll go with Mason. Ordering Wingstop and hoping the Cardinals don't get destroyed in the afternoon. So, first off, I'm not a fan of Wingstop. I'll just come out and say it. I don't care. It's not
That's
that
okay.
good. Not that good. The ranch, yes. The wings and everything else, not that good. So, here's my ideal. You ready? And I'm gonna go a little bit deeper. Yeah. So, wake up, do all that stuff. Coffee in hand. Open the back door, close the screen, natural airflow when it's cool. Like when we're talking, I'm talking like highs in the 70s or the 60s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let that natural airflow come in. Maybe sit in a pair of joggers or whatever, like a long, so like a jacket, and enjoy the weather and enjoy football. That's my ideal.
It's a pretty good day.
Now, here's the thing though. Curveball. Maybe watch the early games, right? 10 o'clock games for the 4 o'clock games. Go out to my favorite place. Now, this is when I lived in Ahwatukee, so I can't really do this anymore unless I want to drive like half an hour. Go to Tukey's, great neighborhood bar and grill in Ahwatukee. Some of the best wings you'll ever have. Sit on the patio. You will not regret it.
That sounds great.
So much fun. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Moving on, because we don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to save that one for last. The best vacation you've ever had. You can be brief.
Best vacation I ever had. The most fun was actually, so my dad, my brother and I, when I was a kid, went to Norway and Denmark. My dad had a work conference in Norway and we stopped in Denmark before. And okay. Denmark was awesome, good places to walk, good food, stuff like that. The memory I have of that was we went to the some science museum in Denmark, in Copenhagen, the capital city, and it was called like the Arts and Science Museum. We were excited. We get there and the whole thing is dresses. It's just an exhibit of dresses. And my dad, having paid for the three of us to get in, is like, okay, today is opposite day. He knew my brother and I weren't happy. And he goes, this is opposite day. If you see something you really hate, you say how awesome it is. You say this is the greatest thing you've ever seen. And so we spent hours looking at the ugliest clothing you've ever seen in the world, going, this is so cool. Look how cool that is, how pretty that is. And we made something great out of something terrible.
That's fair.
So that's speaking one of my favorite vacation memories.
Speaking of making something great out of something terrible, my dad grew up a Chargers fan, so we went to San Diego to see a Chargers game like 10 years ago. There you go.
Cool.
Did you like that transition? Was that too harsh?
I got it.
My best vacation ever, I'm going to sound a little wimpy. I don't know if that's the right word to even use. Simp. I don't know. Is that even a word anymore? People use that?
I don't know.
Anyway, 2 years ago, I went to Hawaii for my cousin's wedding. Carter came with me. She's now my wife, so it worked out really well.
Good.
That was also my first time ever in Hawaii, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And it was also Maui, and we stayed in Kaanapali and went to Lahaina all the time. And 3 months later, Lahaina literally burned to the ground. So it's obviously very sad. So I'm glad I got to experience it before that happened. And
yeah, no
obviously
doubt.
All the locals there, you know, heartbreaking for them. And I hope they're able to build everything back up to where it was or slightly better. Still kind of keep that small town coastal historic charm that it had because Lahaina was a very, very special place. So always a special place that will always have a special place in my heart, honestly. That was one of the best vacations and trips I've ever had in my life. So
yeah, that's cool.
Definitely very cool. Best handheld food item. I got this one from Bickley and Murata. So handheld food item. It can be, let's not go desserts, like no ice creams, things like that. But sandwiches, right? Tacos, burritos, pizza, like anything that you don't need a fork and a knife to eat. You can use it, but mostly use your hands only.
I'm going with a sandwich.
Okay. What kind of sandwich?
I love a good sandwich.
What kind?
Ooh. A chicken parm sandwich is pretty freaking great.
I had chicken parm tonight.
So good.
Yeah, it was really good. Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go a burrito.
I dig that.
You can't mess with a good burrito. Mason said a double patty hamburger, which is, obviously, still pretty good. I got this one from Bickley and Murata, like I said. And they have a really good producer named Jared Carlin.
Yeah,
so he had a follow-up question. Encapsulated meat sandwich. Hamburgers, hot dogs, sausages, brats. Which one is the best? You can even go sandwich.
Guy.
Okay, burger.
I like a burger. I also like a chicken sandwich.
I do like chicken sandwiches. Grilled or fried?
Either way.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm a happy guy if I'm getting either.
I'm a big hot dog fan. However, it's got to be none of this bar ass. None of this, 50% beef or whatever. Like, it's got to be, the all beef Nathan's. Hebrew National or Costco hot dog.
Agreed.
It's got to be one of those.
Got to be high quality.
High quality hot dogs. Yes. What do you eat on your hot dogs? Like what condiments do you put?
Mostly ketchup.
Okay. Just ketchup?
Yeah. If I'm going to eat a hot dog, it's usually just ketchup. I like a chili cheese dog, but if I'm going regular condiments, I'll go with just some ketchup.
See, some people will say you're weird because they say ketchup doesn't belong on hot dogs.
That's okay. They don't have to eat my hot dog.
Exactly. Ketchup mustard for me. Keep it simple.
I dig it.
Keep it simple. I don't need the onions and the relish and the pickle spear and the tomato. I don't need any of that stuff. Just give me a hot dog with ketchup mustard on a sesame seed bun and I'll be happy.
Yeah. I agree.
Speaking of, best thing you ate last week.
Best thing I ate in the last week, made myself a really good, I've done this one before, but I made a good fruit smoothie a few days ago that I really enjoyed.
Hmm. Fair enough. Okay. Best thing I ate in the last week. Not exactly quality, I guess, but just more so nostalgia.
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment. Neither of us felt like cooking the other night. Last week, neither of us felt like cooking. We didn't want to do anything. Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza.
I've never had the stuffed crust. Is it pretty good?
I haven't had a stuffed crust in so long. It was a little underwhelming. However, it was still just like a stuffed crust pizza. And you know what it reminded me of? Is remember the cheese like pizza stick things in elementary school?
Yeah.
It reminded me of those, and that's why I liked it so much.
I dig that.
Papa John's Oreo bites and a chicken bake? Mason, what are we doing, man?
I like a chicken bake.
They're not that good.
Just okay. I enjoy them, though.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, yeah. Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza.
That's interesting.
Just because I haven't had it in so long. And
yeah. That's fun.
Carter thought it was disgusting, but it was whatever.
Does she not like cheese?
No, she does. She just doesn't like stuffed crust. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it is a lot of cheese.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Although I did have to go get an extra like workout in because I did feel disgusting. But
yeah, I'm with you.
Then I got sick, so it's like whatever, right?
Yeah.
Made up for it. So anyway. Ooh, hour 15. Look at us, Eric.
Yeah, we had a long one today.
I know, with less to talk about than normal, which is kind of ironic. Go figure. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. 358 of you right now. That's amazing. Can't thank you guys enough for tuning in and supporting us and being here and just, you know, everything. Mason, thank you. Adam Beadle was in here. I think Jacob Saliga, even though he said he wasn't going to look to tune in, I think he was still tuned in. Just again, the support is outstanding. We appreciate everybody.
Yeah, cool.
Make sure to follow Mason on Twitter. His Flag Football rankings will have Flag Football coverage on Thursday. Make sure to follow Eric on Twitter at Human Rights, myself at Zach Elvira. Next Level Mobile IV, Nautical Bulls, the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bulls trying to find a good Friday night showdown or a Friday night takeover game, I should say. So we'll see what happens there. That'll be announced. And then, of course, the statewide media rankings coming on Thursday morning. So a lot to look forward to. I believe Rebecca Daly, our staff writer for mostly volleyball stuff, is going to have probably a game of the week and player of the week. And that's in partnership with Athletes Unlimited. So a lot of good things happening here, man. I don't exactly know what Adam and Jacob are going to do this week. Obviously, ASU is out of town. So I think they're still probably going to have some coverage. It's just going to look a little bit different, obviously. You know, this past week, which they did a great job. Sure. I mean, the highlight video, the stand-up, the written article, they did a really good job. But stay tuned for that. I think Adam might be at a high school game, so we'll see. We'll see what he's able to get done, if he's feeling good. But again, appreciate every single one of you for tuning in. And with that being said, we'll talk to you all next week.